comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio. Make sure you're following us on the social media at Nerd Radio 101. And of course, we are on the podcast page, WRAF.com, and on iTunes. It is Chuck Bean hanging out with you, and it's time for our Squared Circle Roundtable, which is a one-on-one match this week with Erica Benes. It's always a pleasure to have you here, even more so because over the Labor Day weekend, while I was here and working, you were experiencing StarCast.
Charles, I've been to the top of the mountain. And it is
now.
Good.
Yes.
It is good.
Yes, you've been to Wrestle Christmas.
Okay. It's everything is still kind of overwhelming. And it, by the way, it's StarCast and All In. All In obviously taking place on Saturday. StarCast being the corresponding convention.
All this taking place in Chicago.
The Chicagoland area, like they kept saying it was in Chicago. It was in like the very nice upper middle class suburbs of Chicago.
All right.
Yeah, which, I mean, it was a great, great setup. There was amenities galore, just tons of restaurants. It was a great location.
And before we actually get started, let's catch up the listeners up, those that aren't into the wrestling. All In is essentially a independent wrestling pay-per-view.
Yes.
That was put together by Cody Rhodes, who used to work for the WWE. And
actually,
the
just
Bucks.
Cody.
Just Cody. I'm sorry. Just Cody.
Just Cody. Can't use, you know, the last name because of, you know, issues and legal stuff.
Right.
And the Young Bucks.
And the Young Bucks, who are all three members of Bullet Club, which is quite possibly the biggest thing in wrestling that has not been in the WWE.
That is correct.
In, you know, the last, I don't know, decade or more.
Yes.
But there was a tweet that Dave Meltzer, who reviews wrestling and has a newsletter all the time, had put out, months and months and months ago, maybe
it was
even
back
last year.
In May of 2017, where he was asked by a fan, hey, do you think Ring of Honor could ever sell out a 10,000-seat arena? And he he did the quote retweet with his response back saying, not anytime soon. Yeah. And like literally minutes later, Cody Rhodes sees that and just goes, I'll take that bet.
Yep.
And that's kind of how everything really officially started. Apparently, the previous month, the Young Bucks and Cody were kind of chewing on this idea.
Sure.
And just thinking I wonder
we
if...
We should put on our own show.
I wonder if we could do it. And I guess it sprang from the match that the Young Bucks had with the broken Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy and Brother Nero, because they had that match. They had that ladder match with the Young Bucks, and then they showed up at that WrestleMania the same day. And I guess they sold 3,500 tickets, which at the time was holy crap. This is a crazy number for Ring of Honor. Gigs.
Right. Not only did you sell 3,500 tickets, you sold it on WrestleMania weekend in the city WrestleMania is in.
Yes.
You know, and the WWE is obviously the big dog.
Yes.
When it comes to wrestling these days. So Cody Rhodes decided, you know what? I think I could do this.
Yeah.
And it's just snowballed and become a bigger and bigger thing. And then StarCast happened around All In. That I'm not as privy to the details of.
Well, just what happened or how that came to be.
How it came about. But the wrestling podcast with Conrad Thompson, he you know, I guess he got in contact with Cody and was like, what if we do a Comic Con around All In around that weekend and just have a bunch of wrestlers out and stuff like that kind of thing?
Well, I mean, that's kind of more or less how it happened, where, you know, this show was starting to really kind of gain traction.
Right.
And, you know, like any big WWE event, there's usually some sort of con or fan access, or what is it called, fan access
it
now?
Is. Yeah, okay. When they do SummerSlam and when they do WrestleMania, usually that weekend. In fact, with WrestleMania, I think it goes all week at this point.
Yeah, it does.
Where it's just almost a big convention with a whole bunch of stuff. You can meet wrestlers and you can see some of the historical things the original belts, or maybe Andre the Giant's, you know, boots to see how big they were and that kind of thing. There's statues, there's matches that go on all week, and it's a big thing. And they're like, why don't we do that for the independent wrestling scene?
Yeah, that's basically what happened. And the hotel that housed it, and because I ended up talking with a guy at a StarCast merch booth, and just saying like, man, this is insane. And I guess when they first booked the hotel, the hotel was like, we'll give you this one room. And that was it. And then more and more people were buying tickets, more and more people were buying tickets. And they blocked off like maybe half of the rooms available.
Uh-huh.
And then like apparently those rooms like got booked in within like 10 minutes. So then they told the hotel, like, you better give us some more rooms. And eventually, I guess like, the hotel had 500 rooms, 450 of them were strictly for people there for StarCast or All In.
Wow.
Yeah, the only blocks of rooms that they couldn't get rid of were for airline workers, pilots, flight attendants, you know, people who need somewhere to stay and, you know, who are regular, you know, visitors of the hotel.
Sure.
So, I mean, pretty much that entire hotel was wrestling. Apparently, they also had... there was a bridge tournament that was booked at the hotel.
Oh, that had to be interesting for those people.
No. Well, here's the thing. The StarCast people got in contact with the bridge tournament people and said, look, you gotta go. And they, I guess, booked some space at an O'Hare airport for them and like kind of like got them to move so they could have more rooms and more space for this convention.
I would hope it was kinder than you gotta go.
I'm sure it was.
Look, we're gonna fill this hotel up with wrestling fans, and I don't know that you guys are really gonna have the best time that you could
exactly.
with your bridge tournament. So let's see if we can find you someplace.
Exactly. I'm sure it was, you know, put a little more tactfully. They just than got you gotta go.
Yeah, no, they just got Scott Steiner on the phone with the bridge. Ha! I have a bridge tournament. Huh? We got a 133% chance of not having that bridge tournament.
And then they just said, like, we'll leave. Just we don't want to talk to this man anymore.
Right.
But
you and your husband, which are adorable.
Thank you.
You guys are all in when it comes to wrestling, and it makes me very happy.
We always thought we were cute. Mm. So it's just nice to know that other people are also. Feeding our egos
yes.
and reminding us, yes, we are as adorable as
we
seem.
You are as adorable as you think you are. But you guys went to experience this big, you know, event.
This event, because originally we were going to go to Money in the Bank, which was also in Chicago in May.
Yeah.
And we were going to do that in May to celebrate our anniversary. It was our fifth anniversary. Well, long story short, we saw ticket prices and just went... No, this isn't going to work. So we just figured, whatever. And then All In happened and we're like, let's do this instead.
Yeah.
Because the ticket prices, I believe, for All In range from $29 to like $150, which for a wrestling event of this caliber, extremely reasonable.
Yeah.
We got the low end, like we got like $29 tickets, had amazing seats.
That's cool.
And yeah, that basically this was our, you know, big... You know, we're in love. We're a couple in love, and we love wrestling. And this is going to be magical.
Isn't that? Isn't that the dream? Right there. You at home listening to that? Isn't that? This is just sweetest, cutest thing.
Sorry, fellas or ladies, I'm taken. But so back to StarCast.
Yeah, tell me about StarCast.
StarCast.
Man.
I've never been to a con before, and I know you and I talked briefly before we started recording about how just the fact that I've never been to a con.
Right.
I don't know what they're like. It was easily one of the most overwhelming experiences. One, there was just people everywhere.
Yeah.
Two, every conceivable indie wrestler, WWE legend, vendor you can imagine was there. Like there was literally something for everyone. And just the close proximity of everything, just walking through, just going like, excuse me. Oh God, I just bumped into a big old tree of a man. Oh, that's Billy Gunn. Oh, hi, Billy Gunn. Hello. And then like turning a corner and be like, oh, there's Jerry the King Lawler. Oh, tra-la-la-la. Sergeant Slaughter is over there. What the hell is this?
Right.
Scott Hall. Hey, Scott Hall. How's the buffet looking? It looks pretty good. I hope you're having a good lunch. It was just weird. Like,
yeah.
Buff Bagwell was shoved in a corner, which poor Buff Bagwell, he got totally screwed over on his table assignment.
Aww.
I felt kind of bad. He was also next to Amber O'Neill, which is Luke Gallows's like ex-wife, and
is she a wrestler?
Yeah, well, she was like, you know, the Bullet Babe.
Oh.
Yeah, like she was in Bullet Club, and then obviously there was, you know, a split and things happened.
Right.
But like you turn a corner and it's like there's Jay Lethal sharing a table with Lanny Poffo. What the hell?
Yeah.
Like, it was just I never in a million years like just experienced anything like that. But here's the thing. Before we even went to StarCast, Eric and I went to a meet and greet at a local TGI Fridays.
Okay.
Okay. So anybody who's listening right now, the Young Bucks and pretty much it's the Young Bucks kind of run the Being the Elite show. Being the Elite is a YouTube channel, YouTube series that focuses on like the goings on of the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, Marty Scurll, Adam Page, Cody, and like they have a few other like supporting cast.
A lot of the Bullet Club guys.
A lot of the Bullet Club guys.
I've heard them describe it as sketch comedy, but also a little bit of reality because you get to, they film stuff on the road.
They film stuff on the road. They film like behind the scenes stuff, but then there's like legitimate plot lines that were like cashed in at All In, which we will get to eventually.
Okay.
But one of the bits on the show, when they're in Japan, they go to the local TGI Fridays a lot in Japan because they don't like the Young Bucks don't care for Japanese food.
OK,
so the joke is, you know, TGI Fridays, it's our favorite Japanese cuisine. And like there are countless episodes of them eating at a Fridays. And it's a bit. It's a thing. It's if you watch the series, you'll understand the significance of why the Young Bucks and Marty Scurll had a signing and a meet and greet at a TGI Fridays. So we went to this because it was so damn absurd. We had to go.
Right.
And I think plans kind of got changed because when we initially bought it, we thought there was going to be like a photo op, food, goodie bag, and a Q&A. Apparently they were doing like a signing and then they were just doing like random photos as they were like roaming around to tables. So okay. I thought we would get like one-on-one photos with the Young Bucks and Marty. Oops, it's fine. And like they sent us like a file with all the photos that they took, and like I looked like hell because we woke up at 5 in the damn morning here so we could drive to Chicago, well, west of Chicago, to attend this meet and greet thing that took place at 11 Central Standard Time.
Right. Yeah, so brunch with the Bullet Club.
Yeah. So, like, mind you, we have just gotten off the road. We are tired. We are starving. It's like, I look like hell in these photos. Whatever. I still got the Young Bucks and Marty Scurll were just amazing, just super nice, welcoming. I'd do it again.
Yeah.
I would totally do it again.
And you got that sweet shirt you're wearing.
Yes, and the damn shirt, you will have to take a photo of it and we'll share it on all the Nerd Radio social medias.
Right.
They took the Young Bucks merch logo, put a Fridays logo in the middle of it, and then underneath it, it says, our favorite Japanese restaurant.
That's hilarious.
And also, I must say, the quality of the shirt, they got a soft style shirt. Ooh. It's a nice shirt.
Nice.
Like, they didn't skimp on, like, just, like, the standard, like, that weird-ass twill.
Right. No, once you've had, like, the soft t-shirts, all other t-shirts are just...
Yeah, ugh. There's no going back. Like, no, it's a nice shirt. So we did that first, went to the hotel, tried to regroup after that weird meet and greet because it was just so surreal because it's like you're having lunch with the Young Bucks and Marty Scurll on a TGI Fridays and a bunch of other marks with you.
Yep.
So weird. So we did that. Then we went to StarCast, got even more overwhelmed.
Right.
And I think probably one of my favorite StarCast highlights out of the whole thing, first of all, I was wearing a shirt, a Cultaholic shirt. Cultaholic is a YouTube channel and a website. There are these four guys from the UK who cover wrestling, who do all sorts of wrestling content, and they're super funny, they're super talented, and I've been big fans of theirs for forever. And they also have contributors, and one of them is Matthew Gregg, who is the Botchamania guy. So I'm walking around StarCast with my Cultaholic shirt, and then someone goes, yeah, Cultaholic, all right. And like, I'm out of it, because I'm damn tired,
right.
And I kind of look, and then I kind of do a double look, and I went, oh my God, hey! And then, like,
it's Matthew.
And so we had, talked to him for a couple minutes. Super nice guy. It was just everyone, there was so much positive energy. Everyone, I think, was just so happy that this was going on, and kind of looking around and seeing all of the people and going, there's a lot of us.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us that really believe in this, or in this movement, in this alternative to the WWE.
Right.
I don't know what's going to come next after this, but I'm very excited for the ride.
That's typically why I enjoy the comic convention in the first place, because you know you're in a setting with a whole bunch of people who are into a lot of the same stuff you're into.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is much more focused. This is, focused on the wrestling and the independent scene, or something like that. So, like you said, there's a lot of positive energy that if you're there, it's probably because you're a big fan of the Bullet Club, or you're a big fan of, Ring of Honor or something like that. And they had so many people around that convention that, I'm sure there were people cosplaying wrestlers all over the place.
Oh, my God. Yes. So many cosplayers. Yeah. Really good ones, too. Like, there was an AJ Styles one that scared the poo out of me.
And you were like, that's really him.
Well, first of all, he got the haircut perfect.
Yeah.
So I like from behind, I'm like, oh, you use a good conditioner, don't you? And then you could just tell, no split ends. Like, it looked perfect.
Nice.
Perfect.
Nice. Did you find yourself all weekend, at any point did you forget that, I'm here for a wrestling show? Was it so overwhelming that you're like, this is the top of the mountain? And then you're like, no, wait, it gets better.
No, there's
a wrestling show on Saturday.
I think it was just one of the things that, I didn't peak on that Friday, because we got in, StarCast started on Thursday. We got in Friday because, we have a child in school, and he went to school on Thursday, and surely we couldn't be like, hi, we're going to call you out of school so we can go to the wrestling thing.
Right.
And by the way, I know you're like, why didn't you bring your kid to the, our kid doesn't like wrestling. We're not going to make him
do. That has got to be weird.
It's very weird, considering
how old is he?
He's 14.
Okay. But I get the whole mom and dad love this thing and it's mom and dad's thing and I don't get it. I don't know what it's like. But for it to be professional wrestling and for, him to just, has he ever been remotely interested in professional wrestling?
When he was younger, I guess he was really into it. And then it just kind of, it faded.
Okay.
Faded and it's fine.
Because I can relate to that when I got to middle school around maybe 14 or something like that, where I was like, I don't know about this wrestling thing anymore.
Yeah.
But then I came back.
Yeah.
So
I mean, there's always hope, and we will always love him. Okay.
Oh, for sure.
Just for the record,
right.
And not only that, but
disown him because he doesn't like a particular wrestler.
No, my kid's amazing. I love him. And not only that, but once again, it's like we were celebrating our anniversary. We don't get too much adult alone time.
Fair.
Wink. I hope
some people can
relate to that.
Right.
Just a husband and wife wanting alone time.
Right.
Anyway, no, there was never a point where I'm like, oh, my God, this is it. Because if anything, the feeling was, oh, my God, all of this is happening and All In is tomorrow.
Yeah.
That was the
feeling.
So
it was always on your mind.
It was always on my mind.
And the big wrestling show is happening within X amount of hours.
Right. And then to cap off All In, they had a Pro Wrestling Tees, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yep.
If anyone who's listening isn't familiar with them, Pro Wrestling Tees is a Chicago-based company. They have licenses through a lot of the indie wrestlers, a lot of the WWE legends who are allowed to kind of do their own thing outside of the WWE.
If you love a wrestler and you want a shirt from them and they don't have a shirt on WWE shop, they probably have one in Pro Wrestling Tees.
They probably do. Or if they're not a WWE wrestler.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's amazing. Their site is I could drop an obscene amount of money with them. And I have. And I did. And so this place hosted a number of signings over the weekend. They had a CM Punk signing on Friday. And then they were running all sorts of events on Saturday to go with All In. But then they hosted Kazuchika Okada on that Sunday.
The Rainmaker.
The Rainmaker.
From New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yes. My husband loves Kazuchika Okada.
Okay.
He's often referred to as, he's my best friend. it's a joke that Rocky Romero does on commentary.
Okay.
Either way. So it's just a running bit that we have. It's like, my best friend Kazuchika Okada is going to be on TV tonight. This is going to be great. So I bought him VIP tickets to this signing for his birthday.
Aww.
Thank you. I know. I'm really great.
And, best wife.
And that was like the capper on.
I'm kidding, Amy. You're the best wife.
Oh, there we go. I'm like, good save. Good recovery, Mav. So that was the capper on the entire weekend. But yeah, like it was just so overwhelming.
Yeah.
It was so overwhelming, and we hadn't even gotten to the wrestling yet.
I was going to say, like, the wrestling happened on Saturday, but did StarCast go until Monday, or was it over on Sunday?
It concluded on Sunday. Like, they had events on Sunday. They had some really cool events on Sunday. At that point, like, you know, we were kind of crunched for time, and plus Okada.
Right.
So we had to go to that. But, I mean, they had just a crazy-ass variety of things and
fan
experiences.
Yeah, because I know a lot of the podcasts were out there. Bruce Pritchard and Tony Schiavone.
Yeah, Podcast Row out there. Like, just an obscene amount of different meet-and-greets. Like, they had a meet-and-greet with Cody and I can't remember who else. But, like, they launched their own line of cigars. And the meet-and-greet was, like, hanging out with them and smoking their cigars.
Huh.
They had also the eat and greets, which you had like lunch with like various wrestlers, which I don't know how I would handle that one personally. But hey, if you want to do it and you got the money, go for it. And that's actually another fun lesson I learned. Wrestling fans either are rich or are piss poor with their money because they will buy a lot of stuff. Like the amount of money that was dropped. Well, Pro Wrestling Tees alone, they made $500,000 that weekend.
Just in this weekend.
On merch.
Right.
And I don't even know if that's factoring in their online sale that they had.
Yeah, because they had a cool online sale too.
Which I took advantage of because by the time I got to their store, everything was picked over.
I was like, you're there. Why would you go to the online store?
I tried, Chuck. I went into their storefront and the sizings were picked over. So I'm like, well, I'll just have to buy online.
Yeah. Fair. That's fair. All right, well, let's collect ourselves. Let's take a breath.
I know, I have to come down.
Right, and we will talk about the wrestling show that StarCast was all put around, and that was All In. And we'll come back with more Nerd Radio.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRAF.com, on iTunes, and of course on our social media at Nerd Radio 101, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. My name is Chuck B, and I'm joined by Erica Bennis. Who was fresh from All In and StarCast this past weekend, this Labor Day weekend in Chicago. And I have never seen you so animated.
What, like ever? Are you sure?
You're typically very animated but I don't know that I've ever seen you this excited.
I make my living off of words.
Yeah.
You are well aware of that.
Sure.
There are not enough to describe just the breadth of everything this weekend was.
Yeah.
There's not enough.
Just an amazing, life-altering experience of 4 days.
Life-altering, but like, it was just, in a world where negativity is everywhere, to be surrounded for like 3 days of just obscenely positive, happy people was just, I didn't know I needed that.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
And I know that we had some interaction with Razor Ray over the weekend, too, when he was watching All In about it. And he was definitely, I think we can agree it's a good thing that he gave his tickets to somebody who was really going to appreciate it.
It's fantastic that he gave his tickets away, because if that was his reaction on Twitter, I would not have wanted to have been seated near him in the Sears Center, because he would have just been a sour rat bastard bringing down everyone's
food. A wet blanket.
Yeah.
But that's why we love him, too.
Go with that.
That's part of his charm, I guess.
Yes.
So All In happened on Saturday. Most of the time, WWE pay-per-views happen on Sunday. But I kind of like when Ring of Honor does stuff on Fridays and Saturdays. I think that's cooler.
I like it. I feel like you just, you don't have to worry about going to work the next day.
Right.
You know, I mean, obviously other people have non-traditional jobs where they work on weekends and stuff, but traditionally speaking, you tend to have that Sunday off
You could watch All In on a couple of different pay-per-view networks, and their pre-show, which was on WGN, so if you had cable or something like that, because I did have to work Sunday morning, I chose to watch All In through Twitter, through a bunch of GIFs. So I've yet to actually experience the full match, with the exception of Kenny Omega and Pentagon Jr. Because I somebody had posted that video in one of my Facebook groups that I follow for wrestling, and I needed to know how the plot twist happened. Because I was very, and we'll get to that. Yes. I was very confused about how that. But let's start with the pre-show. You started with SoCal Uncensored and the Briscoe Brothers.
A perfect match to kick off everything. Before we even get to the card, though, I do want to talk briefly about the crowd.
Okay.
I think this crowd was absolute perfection. They were energetic the entire night. And even though it was probably easily one of the smarkiest crowds ever assembled.
Sure.
They weren't trying to get themselves over like a Raw after Mania crowd.
Okay.
I think everyone knew what was at stake. We were like, we better be on our best GD behavior.
And that's
great.
And
we better not be annoying. These guys are putting this show on for us because we love them so damn much. Let's not be let's not be annoying. Let's watch. Let's appreciate. Let's see.
Be respectful.
Let's be respectful. Let's see history unfold. So aces to the crowd. Mazel tov, and I'm very happy.
One of the first things I saw on Twitter was when they revealed the stage, and it was really cool looking.
Stage looked fantastic.
You don't know. I mean, you go to a Ring of Honor show, or you watch Impact Wrestling or something like that. Like, you don't know how much money they're going to pour into the presentation of this thing. But you're working with somebody like Cody, who has worked with the WWE. He knows that presentation is very important.
Right.
So they definitely shelled out to make a very cool looking stage.
Yeah, the stage looked fantastic. Everything visually speaking was great. I liked the fact that the ring aprons had the various like insider sponsors on them. Like, you had Hot Topic on one of the ring aprons. You had TGI Fridays. With the logo. And then you had Cracker Barrel, another restaurant that they frequent on Being the Elite a lot. So anyway, back to the card. So SCU versus the Briscoes, like the perfect match to kind of kick everything off. You know, everyone in attendance knew who these guys were. SCU has gained incredible popularity through BTE, and just seeing them kind of flourish over the past few months due to the show it was just like the perfect match to kick everything
off. It is fascinating to, if you, like, you watch Being the Elite pretty religiously. I just come and go, but it is fascinating to watch the Bucks use Being the Elite not only to get themselves and their Bullet Club friends over, but to also pick guys like Flip Gordon, for instance, and further storylines that way. Because, you know, if you do they all wrestle for like New Japan or Ring of Honor or something like that, like, they don't have a weekly TV show to really push this kind of thing. They have a weekly TV show, but it's a syndicated show. Sometimes it's on, like, here it's on at 3 a.m.
right,
you know, so you don't really get that weekly fix like you do with a Raw or SmackDown. And it's fun to watch them utilize the tool of YouTube to actually make up that kind of stuff.
I will say, with SoCal Uncensored, I'm sure you're familiar with the SCU chant.
It's Kazarian, right?
Well, it's Kazarian, Scorpio Sky, and Christopher Daniels.
Right.
Kazarian and Sky were out there against the Briscoes, but they chant SCU.
Yeah.
And that's their thing. And while we were waiting to get into the venue, like, everyone's lined up, like, there's just this herd of people. Someone would start an SCU chant and it would just ripple throughout the entire crowd. Like, I was standing next to, like, just different groups of friends and whatever. They'd be talking, whatever. It was almost like the wave.
Like the wave.
Like the wave, but with a chant. So it's like, oh yeah, man, I can't wait till we get an SCU! And then just keep going with the conversation. It was hilarious.
Nice.
It was so great. And it just, you know, incredible spots. I mean, I've never seen a, you know, similar to the Bucks, I've never seen like a bad match from the Briscoes or SCU.
No,
and they have a wonderful chemistry together.
Right.
So it was a great match to get a great pop from the crowd right out the gate.
I also love that the pre-show featured a battle royal, they called the over budget battle royal.
The over budget battle royal was the most unique mix of wrestlers that I have probably ever seen.
Right.
Here we go, because I had to list all of them. Yet Billy Gunn, his son, Austin Gunn.
Oh, nice.
Jordynne Grace, Moose, who's on Impact.
Yep.
Ethan Page, Brian Cage, Marco Stunt, Punishment Martinez, Brandon Cutler, the Zombie Princess, Jimmy Jacobs.
Yeah, local guy.
Cole Cabana, Rocky Romero, Trent Beretta, Chuck Taylor, Cheeseburger, Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, who wasn't announced, by the way, and when, because I watched the WGN broadcast back once we got home.
Yeah.
And when everyone came down to the ring, like, it was pretty much just like a single file line, and they just kind of announced names as they went. Tommy Dreamer was not announced before that moment. He was going to be in the Battle Royal. And when he was announced, the pop was probably one of the bigger ones of the night.
It's probably one of the biggest ones he's ever gotten.
Yeah. It was insane. Tommy Dreamer, Chico El Luchador, which will come into play later, and okay. Hurricane Helms.
Yeah, and you mentioned one of the wrestlers there, Jordan Grace.
Jordan Grace is just kind of up and coming on the indies. She's like 23.
Right.
She's this power lifter. She's a badass.
Right, well, that's what I wanted to bring up. The only female in this Battle Royal. So yeah. Kind of cool that, you know, bridging that gap of like, let's make it intergender as well.
They made it intergender, and they didn't kind of utilize her as a token.
Right.
You know,
no,
and
she
like
was
eliminate
in there
her
to
right
work.
Away. Yeah. She was in there to work, and like she got down to like, it was like the final four. It was her, Bully Ray, Cole Cabana, and gosh, I can't remember off the top of my head, but like she like, yeah. Oh, what's his nuts?
The luchador that you
no
just
no
up
no not no, no Brian Cage, because she put Brian Cage on her shoulders.
Nice.
And like it was just like she's just a badass.
That's
great.
Awesome.
Wrestler, and definitely like a star making moment.
I liked on WGN her. That they also used typically when Okada does his Rainmaker taunt, they'll do this hard zoom out.
Yes.
Kind of thing, and they did that for Chuck Taylor and
when they hugged
the best
and Trent Beretta. Yeah,
yeah.
So that was perfect. It was probably one of the better battle royals I've ever witnessed. I mean, live or on, you know, television or whatever. It was fast paced. There was very few lulls. Everyone shined at some point.
Right.
Everyone had their moment.
And who ended up coming? Because the winner got to face Jay Lethal later on in the night.
The winner got to face Jay Lethal. Well, at first we all thought Bully Ray had been victorious. At the start of the Battle Royal, Bully Ray, who wasn't announced, who decided to make his way down, because that's
right.
What Bully Ray do.
Yeah, because good heel.
Yeah, great, the best. He put Chico El Luchador through a table, which was very strange, because usually Chico El Luchador is portrayed by Rocky Romero.
Okay.
Who was in the battle.
But Rocky was there.
But Rocky was there. So we didn't know, who's Chico El Luchador? Plot twist, Bully Ray's thinking he won, Chico El Luchador eliminates him, it's Flip Gordon.
Hey!
The perfect energetic victory to lead from the pre-show into the actual, you know, the main show.
Right.
It was just perfect. Absolutely perfect. And super fun. It was just silly and fun. I can't say that enough.
Yeah, and that's essentially, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we want wrestling to be. We want it to be fun.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we want our stories, and we want a little comedy here and a little tragedy there.
And
but
crazy athleticism, which it had that, you know, by the truckload. But, like, there wasn't a dull moment where it's like, oh, they're trying to figure out what spot's next. No, everyone knew their marching orders. It was good.
All right, well, let's move on to the main show. Starting off the main show with Matt Cross and MJF.
So I think this was a solid curtain jerker for a show. I did not care for MJF, but that's because I came in with a little bit of a bias. And let's go back to StarCast briefly.
Okay.
MJF, he indie guy. He's done a lot of stuff with CZW. I think he's their current champion, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And Major League Wrestling. And he is basically just like a smarmy, elitist, lives his gimmick. He doesn't break. So he had a table at StarCast on Friday, and like, we're overwhelmed and we're trying to get our bearings and whatever. And I'm walking, and then he calls out to me. He goes, "Hey, you look tired." And I look back and go, yeah. And then just kept walking. And I'm like, mother effer, I don't have time for this. I just got off the road. No.
You got worked.
What, me?
You got worse. What?
I'm like, no, I'm not going to. Yeah.
he's getting that heat even during StarCast.
Yeah. But it's, you know, I don't know what he was trying to you know, I don't know. Either way, I'm like, not today, MJF. Not today.
So you were super happy with Matt Cross being
Oh, totally.
And you're like, take that, you jerk.
Yeah.
You look tired laying down there for a three count.
Pretty much. that was a solid match to start off the show. Coming off of the Battle Royal, like, there was definitely like a kind of a lull in the energy because it just so much had happened in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, so that's the thing too. You don't want to wear your crowd out too early, and you don't want to just be like one after another.
Yeah. So I mean, I think it was a perfect match to kind of reset and then just kind of set the table for the next match, which was Christopher Daniels versus Stephen Amell, which we all kind of knew. Oh, like, okay, Christopher Daniels is going to be running the show here.
Right. Stephen Amell is not a wrestler.
He's not a wrestler. He's an actor.
He's the star of Arrow. However, he wrestled Cody at SummerSlam a couple years ago, and that's where their friendship sparked up, and he impressed.
Yes.
And it's really interesting. I don't know if it's because we set the bar lower for Stephen Amell that we are so impressed when he puts on a wrestling match and is, you know, fairly good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, this was another one of those things where, you know, I'm looking at like the table spot and I'm like, wow, Stephen Amell, good for you.
Well, like, honestly, like, there was no way I thought he was going through a table. No way. I'm like, the CW didn't sign off on this.
Oh, yeah. They're got to be sweating bullets.
Yeah. And well, not only did he go through
a
table.
Guys, I'm going to go wrestle and then I'll be back next week so we can film the season premiere of Arrow season whatever.
Yeah. Well, and actually, it's funny that you mentioned that because Cody has now dyed his hair back to brunette because he's going back to film more Arrow stuff.
Yeah.
And like he flew somewhere like yesterday.
Yeah.
But, you know, in addition to going through a table, he went coast to coast.
Yeah.
Like, and like.
The Shade O'Mac, like one corner to another. Or
exactly.
Currently Xavier Woods does that.
Mm-hmm. And like almost like had too much momentum and almost like overshot him.
Oh, geez.
Because he had too much spring.
Yeah.
In, you know, in his core or whatever the hell he got that momentum from. But this was one of those that I think probably the most surprising better than expected matches on the card for me. Because, well, once again, we're trained that whenever we see a celebrity in a match, it's like, okay, let's set the bar a little low.
Right.
Just cleared it and then some. And obviously they both embraced at the end and just, oh, what a match.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Because you don't see, once again, you don't get to see a lot of that in the typical WWE product. It's always a bad guy and a good guy. And we're just working stories, working towards the next chapter in a story kind of thing. It's very, very infrequent when two guys at they get to the end and it's like, hey, you know, great match.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. That's the kind of thing they save for backstage.
Right. Right.
You also had a women's match on the card, which was super cool.
A packed women's match. So you had Tessa Blanchard, who's the current Impact Knockout champion.
Yep.
Chelsea Green, who was best known from
Hot Mess.
Yes.
Laurel Van Ness.
And then Reclusa from Lucha Underground. Madison Rayne, who's a former Impact champion, and also she's not part of the main. She's a part of the Mae Young Classic.
Yes.
So having that presence there was kind of surprising, like when she was announced that she was going to be on All In.
Yeah.
And then Britt Baker, who is really kind of like up and coming in the indies. It's really kind of funny with her because her gimmick, like her shoot job, she's a dentist.
Okay.
She's a legitimate dentist. Like she went to school. She is Dr. Britt Baker, and they announced her as Dr. Britt Baker.
Well, I mean, Kane was a dentist and now he's a mayor.
He wasn't an actual dentist.
What?
He didn't go to actual dentistry school.
Lies.
She did.
Lies.
Whatever. their finish was a smidge awkward, but each one of them has a very distinct style, and each one of them had like their moment to shine. Incredible spots. All four very different personality wise.
Right.
And just the way it meshed together. Like there was a point during the match where they got the standing ovation
for sure.
And it was well deserved. It wasn't a crowd popping for no reason. Like someone who is occasionally on the show would say, that people do. No, these women work their asses off.
Well, the next match, actually, it surprised me in where it fell on the card, because I would have expected this to be the main event.
As did I when the women's match closed, and then they showed, you know, the next match up on the,
right.
the big screen. We were like, oh, damn, here it is. Here it comes.
The NWA World Heavyweight Championship between the current champion Nick Aldis and Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
I would have expected he's, you know, that's this guy's to close. It's that we've been programmed. It's the main event. It's the world championship match. It's got to be the main event kind of thing. Also, and it was not.
World's champion, or, you know, the world championship. It's world's.
World.
Because that's what the MWA is.
Okay.
So,
but they put on a great old school match. Cody got a little bit of color, and we had our feel good moment of the night when Cody Rhodes wins the NWA championship.
Of the first half of the show, there was more feel good moments to come.
Oh, for sure.
Like, but it was one of those things where, yeah, everyone was pretty much surprised, like, oh damn, it's this we all thought this was going to be way later in the card.
Right.
It was easily the most traditional match on the card. It made me feel like a kid again watching.
Yeah.
Like just the way certain things played out.
It's one of those matches.
Earl Hebner was there, so I definitely felt like a kid again.
It's one of those matches while you're watching it, it dawns on you that you are watching history.
Yeah.
Right now. Like, people will talk about this years from now. This, if they don't remember anything else from All In, they will remember Cody Rhodes winning the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship.
DDP had a spot in there where...
He came out with, like, what was it, DDP?
DDP, Tommy Dreamer, Glacier.
Yeah.
Brandi Rhodes, obviously.
And his dog.
Which, by the way, Pharaoh the dog is a stunning, stunning canine.
Yeah.
When Pharaoh was shown on the screen... massive pop. Like, the dog is over.
Yes.
That's how into it these fans are.
Are you kidding? What is it? Is it the bear? The safety bear that Cody's been bringing out on Ring of Honor?
Oh, no, that's Bernard the business bear.
If you can get Bernard the business bear over, like, you can get a dog over.
It's true.
Absolutely. Another Bullet Club alumni, Hangman Page, defeating Joey Janela in a Chicago street fight.
Before we move on to that, I will say I feel like there's something in the works with the NWA title. I feel like now that Cody has won it, there's something. Something's going to be in the works. Watch out for that later.
Yeah.
Hangman Page and Joey Janela, it was going to be a Chicago street fight. We all knew it was going to be brutal because it's a street fight. I was not expecting what I saw.
Yeah.
It was incredible. It's amazing that they're both able to walk. So many crazy ass table and ladder spots. Penelope Ford, who is Joey Janela's valet, had an incredible like stunner and crossbody spot against Paige. This was a match that was very BTE centric, like where if you weren't a religious watcher of BTE, you wouldn't have known the significance of Hangman's boots.
Yeah.
Being part of the match, or that phone, because, you know, that phone is what he used to kill Joey Ryan on the BTE show.
A lot of inside jokes.
A lot of inside jokes were there.
And then,
you know.
Speaking of Joey Ryan, the king of dong style.
Joey Ryan has been kayfabe dead. And he was booked at StarCast as the ghost of Joey Ryan. I have a photo, signed photo of the ghost of Joey Ryan.
Right.
It's hilarious. So then all of a sudden, Joey's alive.
The lights go out.
And then the penis druids arrive.
Right. A bunch of guys in penis costumes.
Yes. And then Joey Ryan comes down to the ring and then, you know, has that Adam Page. And then Adam Page is kind of rolled out and he's carried out by the penises.
Right.
Which led to the chant of the night, rest in penis. Rest in penis. Which is now a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com.
See, that's the kind of stuff you miss when you're just watching it in gift form.
Mm-hmm.
We had the winner of the over budget battle royal,
mm-hmm.
Flip Gordon against Jay Lethal, which Jay Lethal, oh my God.
Jay Lethal.
Coming out as Black Machismo, which he did way back in the day in TNA/Impact Wrestling.
Yes.
But made much more important this time around because he got to come out with Lanny Poffo, the brother of Randy Savage, the guy he's homaging.
Yes.
And from what I understand, the jacket he was wearing is Randy Savage's jacket.
Yeah. Like, well, when he came out, because I'm like, oh, man, like the gear looked legit. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, I bet. And it was the gear. It was like Macho Man's actual gear. And they had, once again, that was also featured in Being the Elite, where Jay Lethal, if he were touched on the shoulder, that's what triggered him to turn into the Macho Man.
Oh.
So they showed like a little vignette before the match where all of a sudden he was handed a pair of Macho Man glasses and he makes a face like, I don't know. But then the person who gave him the glasses touches him on the shoulder and all of a sudden he turned into it and then it faded to black and then Pomp and Circumstance hit and everyone lost their friggin' minds.
Oh, for sure.
Me
for
too.
Sure. And there was even that, there's a real fun spot with Brandi Rhodes who came down with Flip Gordon where he thought she was Liz. Yeah, he put her up on his shoulder like Macho used to do to Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah, so that was pretty good. He was turned out of Macho Man, but then turned back in, then turned out.
Once again, just fun.
It was super fun.
Of wrestling.
A great match. Jay Lethal ended up getting the win over Flip Gordon, even though he was victorious in the Battle Royal. I still feel like it's still too early for Flip to win the title in ROH. But, I mean, it was a super entertaining match.
Right. And now you've got Kenny Omega versus Pentagon Jr.
Okay. Brutal.
Yeah.
Definitely
a New Japan style of match.
Very well, the amount of package pile drivers, like I knew it was going to be a lot.
Yeah.
More than I even imagined.
Well, and the thing, once again, I'm watching it in GIF form and I see that at the end of the match, Pentagon Jr. Pulls out what's called the Code Breaker, which is the finisher of Y2J Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see the gif of Pentagon Jr. pulling the mask off and it's Chris Jericho. And my first reaction is, how'd they do that? Did he just wrestle the entire match?
No.
And then I see the video. I'm like, oh no, they pull the lights down and then they did the switch.
Yeah. Well, they, because.
But there was a moment. There was a moment where I was a dumbass wrestling fan going like, did Chris Jericho learn how to wrestle like Pentagon Jr. and then wrestle an entire match as Pentagon Jr. just for that spot at the end?
The match itself, yeah, just physical as all get out. V triggers for days, package pile drivers for days. The lights went out for a lot longer than we thought. Like, and I thought personally, I'm like, oh crap, don't tell me there's something wrong with the, like, I'm like, no, nothing wrong with the feed, nothing wrong with like the grid around the stadium. And then the lights came up and everything, they're like, okay, yay. But then he rose up, did the Code Breaker. We're like, no way.
Yeah, no.
And mind you, like the entire time Jericho like had been saying like, oh, like on, because Jericho was on BT like for a hot second, just saying like, oh, I wish I could be on All In.
Yeah,
blah,
I wish
blah,
he could
blah,
be
blah.
There.
And like the Young Bucks were throwing people off the scent going like, yeah, we can't afford his rate. No, he can't be on All In.
Right.
And it's like, you son of a bitch.
Well, and ever since Chris Jericho showed up in New Japan to fight Kenny Omega, he's kind of been the king of showing up where you least expect him. That's his new thing now.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of fun.
Yeah.
And it furthers the fact that Jericho has a cruise that's coming up that he's going to be fighting Kenny Omega at. So, you know, now if you want to see the next chapter of this rivalry.
I'm hoping they do something where they stream the match at the cruise because I'm sorry, not everyone can afford a cruise,
right?
Chris,
right?
Damn it.
You got your husband's favorite wrestler,
actually, his two favorites,
Okada versus Marty Scurll.
Okada versus Scurll, match of the night,
really,
by far.
All right,
match of the night.
I did enjoy the spot where he went for the clothesline that he calls the Rainmaker.
Yes.
Marty Scurll opened the umbrella,
yes,
to stop the Rainmaker.
Well, the whole build to the match, and this was another BTE storyline when the match was booked. Okada obviously is a heavyweight, Scurll a junior heavyweight, and people were just saying like, you're facing Okada. Oh man, you're screwed.
Right.
You're screwed. Like,
nobody believes that he can do it.
There's no way. And like at one point there was a thing on Being the Elite where like Okada and Marty were at like, it was at a New Japan event and they crossed paths in a hallway and Okada just went 205 with his hands.
Yeah.
And it was hilarious. And so the entire match was just this whole like, oh, Marty can't suplex him, Marty can't do this. And then like him overcoming and being able to get in crazy offense again against him, getting, you know, obviously trying to get him to submit with a chicken wing and then, you know, breaking his fingers. Super entertaining. It was the only match where we all knew Okada was going to win, but the false finishes were to the point where everyone's like, oh my God, maybe Marty is going to win this.
It might happen.
Yeah, this might happen.
Yeah. That's
obviously,
once again, the magic of pro wrestling is when they can, when you know what the finish is going to be, but they can make you believe even for a second that maybe you're wrong.
Right.
Maybe it's not going to be the go the other way.
Yeah. I thought just from storytelling aspect, from a talent aspect, it was, yeah, match of the night.
And then your main event coming after that is the Young Bucks, the Golden Elite. So it's the Young Bucks and what's his name?
Kota Ibushi.
Kota Ibushi against Phoenix, Bandido, and Rey Mysterio, who we know is going to be a pre-order guy in the next WWE 2K game. Mm-hmm. So, the reports and the dirt sheets and stuff like that is that Rey Mysterio is going to start popping up in the WWE right. here and there a little bit more and a little bit more. So it's another one of those guys that's like, how is he here?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And he was announced well in advance. They announced right. him at the press conference just before the tickets went on sale. So... You know, that whole match happens. I guess they were definitely stretched for time. I guess a number of the matches went a little bit over.
Sure.
And it accumulated 14 minutes lost.
Yeah.
So they had to kind of scramble to get the match over and done. They got the match done before they went to black.
I was going
to
say, I think I read somewhere it was in a within
three
about
seconds
three
to spare.
Seconds. Yeah.
3 seconds to spare. They were at least able to get, you know, the match. That was finished, hooray, and then boom, gone.
Yeah.
Spot City, I'm sure if
For sure.
I'm sure if Jim Cornette was watching, he loved it. I will say this, you know, if this, I hope this was a good introduction for somebody, for people to see Bandido.
Yeah.
Bandido, he is part of different lucha promotions. Like he's been I saw him at the Progress show in Detroit in Livonia 3 weeks ago at a Knights of Columbus Hall.
Sure.
I saw this guy at a Knights of Columbus Hall 3 weeks ago. And then last weekend, I saw him at a 10,000 seat arena.
Amazing.
Wrestling's silly fun. And like Bandito's, like his athleticism is something else. I can't wait to see what the future holds for him.
Well, we've gone a little long, but I
just
don't
like
mind.
All in.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm very happy that not only did you get to experience this, but you get to come back and tell us all about it. You can still stream the event All In, I believe, on the New Japan World.
Yes, it's available.
Site.
Yeah, but it's available on New Japan World. I don't know what the issue is with Ring of Honor. I don't know if it's part of their library. I know
right.
there's different tiers to the to Honor Club. Also, if you don't have New Japan Pro Wrestling, you should just get it, not just for All In, just because New Japan is amazing.
Yeah,
it's
lots of fun stuff
yeah,
in there.
Lots of great stuff there.
It can be really difficult, even as big a fan of wrestling as I am, it can be really difficult sometimes because there's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much wrestling. Like I said, I watched All In through GIFs on Twitter, haven't even actually experienced very many of the matches, but it's absolutely something, much like the NXT TakeOver from a couple of weeks ago, that I look forward to sitting down and experiencing, because
mm-hmm.
it seems like there's a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks as always, Erica, for
thank
being
you for
on
letting
Nerd Radio.
Thank you for letting me ramble.
Absolutely. Thank you guys at home for listening to Nerd Radio. Like I said before, follow us on all the social media at Nerd Radio 101, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and be back next week for another edition of Nerd Radio.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Nobody asked you, Kevin!
Have a great weekend.
Golden Radio.
I know.
See you later, nerds.
Hey, we're out.
I'm like Billy Idol. Damn it. I love Billy Idol. No shame.
You've been listening to the Nerd Radio Podcast. The show airs Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. on Riff 2 at 101.1 FM HD Radio 2 in Detroit and features music not heard during this podcast. It's also available weekly on iTunes and on the podcast page at WRIF.com. Contact us at riff2nerds@gmail.com and follow the show on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Nerd Radio 101. Thanks for listening to the Nerd Radio Podcast, and we'll see you next week.
There you go.
All right.